Hello and welcome to QSO. It's all about ham radio. And this week our guest is Chris Matthew, N7ICE. He's the founder of 73s.org and hamfeed.com, along with Bob Cumming, W2BZY. He's the commercial chairman for Hamcation 2009. All brought to you by Trans World Antennas, Heil Sound, TuxSupport.com. All coming up next on QSO.
If you like to travel, if you're a camper, if you'd like to take your ham radio hobby with you when you go, you need the Trans World Antennas TW2010L Backpacker Antenna. It's the same exact antenna as the TW2010 Adventurer, with the exception it's been streamlined for the person who likes to camp and travel light. It's the same rugged antenna structure as the TW2010, with the black powder coating and stealth design. We all know the TW2010 is a great permanent or portable antenna, but the TW2010L Backpacker takes portable and emergency operation to an entirely new level. It's especially suited for the amateur operator who loves backpacking, cycling, camping. It makes easy access and quick setup possible for the most extenuating emergencies. TW2010L Backpacker Antenna is available now for a limited time for only $399.95. That's right, $399.95. Pricing includes backpacker, quadra stand, carrying bag, and free shipping in the continental United States through FedEx Ground. That's transworldantennas.com. And now for a limited time, only $399.95. That's transworldantennas.com.
Well, our guest is Chris Matthew. And Chris has started a web adventure called 73s.org, which that kind of tickles me a little bit, because I was a big fan of the old 73s magazine and Wayne Green. So it's kind of nice to see 73s take on a new form and new life. So hello, Chris. How are you today?
Hey, Ted. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And thanks for being on the show.
I want to know a little bit about your background. How did you get into ham radio? What sparked your interest and all that kind of thing?
Well, you know, my call sign's N7ICE, and I've been a ham for 18 years. And the cool thing about today is I passed my general test today, this morning. So pretty excited about that.
Well, congratulations. Now you can... you can get on the air with the rest of us old geezers on the on the HF bands and ham it up.
So, well, I tell you, it's the older folks that I run into the most interesting conversations with regarding the name of our website, 73s.org, because they absolutely hate the S on the end of the domain.
Oh, really?
Well, 73 is like the formal way of saying best regards, and that extra S just drives them crazy.
Well, you know, but by the same token, when you're on the air and you're concluding a conversation, I've yet to hear somebody say, 73, I'll talk to you later. They all say, 73s, and 73s to you, and all that kind of stuff. And even on your, you know, even emails I get from people, there's always a 73 apostrophe S, prior to their name. So I don't know. You know,
I have QSL cards on 73s.org on the About Us tab that go back to 1917 with ham saying 73s. And the discussion I normally get into is they say that 73 was a CW code that's already plural. It means best wishes. And they say the extra S means best wishes is. It's like, come on. I hear everyone saying 73s, and you know, trying to find a two-letter domain in this day and age is impossible. We were lucky to get 73s.org.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. That, I'm sorry, guys, if you're listening, that's really nitpicking, okay? Grow up, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, but you know what? I hear all kind of things, you know, and I tend to be a little controversial at times. But these characters that say, well, you know, Echolink, it's not ham radio. You know, come on. You know, well, I was around when there was a battle between single sideband and AM, you know. So there's always going to be something, you know, and I don't know. I think I'd be tempted to say, well, you know what? I put the S on the end just to spite you. I don't know. Yeah, but that's me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be that way. I think 73s is just fine. And if it offends some, well, you know, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, you know, I would think it would be odd. It would be, I think it'd look a little odd if it was just 73.org.
That's how I feel.
It would be a little bit, to me, it would be a little bit more natural to have a 73 apostrophe S like I see it in print all the time. But, you know, with domain names, you know, it's whatever you can get. I mean, you cannot, I mean, I see people who put in a name dash something else, a name, you know, a name dot dash. I mean, they do everything out of the sun.
Well, look at the new Web 2.0, like Flickr. You know, they're all missing the E at the end. You know, it's like you can't find domains anymore. And, you know, for a three-letter domain, I was ecstatic. And, yeah, you should have seen on QRZ.com a giant discussion. I posted just an article about a new feature on 73s, and it generated like 5,000 views and commentary about the S on the domain rather than the content.
Well, you have to understand, these are people that mean no harm but have more time on their hands than they know what to do with, you know, and consequently, there we go. You know, it's... And you know what? I'd be proud of the fact that there were 5,000 arguments over the thing because that's just all that much more attention you're getting.
Absolutely. I must have picked up a couple of hundred new registered users off of just that debate. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, to each their own. And, you know, another thing that a lot of folks were saying was that they'd rather do their socializing on the air rather than online. But it was the same folks that were all caught up in the debate on QRZ, so go figure.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. Nobody on Earth can argue the success of Facebook, MySpace, which I understand is now it's kind of taking a little bit of a back seat to Facebook. I don't follow it a whole lot. I have friends of mine that live on Facebook. They can't do an email unless they're doing it through MySpace or Facebook. I mean, it's just like it's like a drug. You know, they get on it and they can't get off, you know?
You're absolutely right. It's kind of addictive. There's 150 million users on Facebook and growing exponentially by the day. So it is becoming like a place to meet up, meet friends, and share your day and your videos and... That was really kind of the idea behind 73s, is that I couldn't find anything that was like really clubbish, you know, social networking type site that was built for and specifically for ham radio operators. So I've programmed for fun, you know, kind of my whole life, actually, since I was 12 years old, and just started hacking together a little site a couple weekends later, had an alpha version up, and it kind of just taken off, which is really, really cool.
Well, see, the thing that I want to address all of our ham radio listeners out there, the thing that bothers me, and that is this, ham radio operators, listen, old guys, listen, we've always been on the cutting edge of everything. You know, there wouldn't be a cell phone industry today if we had not pioneered it. You know, there are so many things have come out of amateur radio, they're too numerous to mention. Now, what I find so aggravating is when I'm trying to reach a friend of mine that's a radio amateur, and you know what? He doesn't do email. You know, the ability to send an audio file, an audio clip, you know, you work DX, record it. Send a copy of the WAV file to your buddies. You know, let them hear the pileup you are in. You know, I mean... This is a technology where that you can capture all these little special things, including pictures of your shack, and you're working on a project. Take a close-up picture of the bottom of the rig you're working on. and ship it over to a friend of yours or post it on a website. You know, this is a marvelous way of pooling ideas and getting people together and meeting in a society that is so busy today that most people don't even have the time to attend their local ham club meeting.
You're absolutely right. And what I've found, too, is that we have this little thing called status updates where you can just kind of post a status that says what you're doing right now. And what I have found is by using this social technology, you're able to coordinate QSOs that you would have never been able to do. I've really gotten into D-Star lately. You know, and D-Star is, I mean, we could talk for hours about how cool this new digital technology is, but I just, you know, would ping something, say I'm listening to D-Star, and I'd get, like, you know, three people that were already on D-Star 2 saying, you know, link to this repeater, and we'll have a chat. And that wouldn't have been possible, really, to find friends that I know and time a QSO in another state and, you know, move the conversation from the web to the ham radio. It's just phenomenal.
Well, you know, I guess the other thing, too, is I've seen this happen where you'll have IM open, instant messenger,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is kind of primitive compared to, you know, the Facebook type approach to things. But there's a pile up on a certain frequency, and there's a bunch of DX guys that kind of hang together, and one shoots the other one a message and says, you know, hey, you know, tune to such and such frequency. There's so and so on there right now. You know, and things like that are very, very, very handy. You know, when we first came out with camera cell phones, and I'm doing radio engineering, and there has been so many times where I was able to take a picture of something inside of a transmitter, and send it by email off my cell phone to the transmitter manufacturer, and say, is this the way this should be? And I would get a reply back, and the guy, oh no, that's not, you know, or whatever, you know. And the picture, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. And in radio, I've been told also that the right word is worth 1,000 pictures. so you know, but what I'm saying is it works both ways. In other words, you can't isolate. And you know, I guess the biggest complaint I have about EchoLink, and you know, I'll talk about EchoLink because it's a new type, you know, internet over IP technology. I'll get it out of here in a minute. And that is, a lot of times I'll go up on EchoLink and I just kind of scour around looking for a QSO and I can't find anybody. We'll be right back with Chris Matthew, N7ICE, right after this. It's the 4040. It's a new 40-meter monoband antenna. It looks just like the Adventurer or the TW2010. It's the perfect antenna for high-performance DX communications in a portable package. This antenna system is ideal for camping, emergencies, or permanent installation where you gotta go stealth. 7.0 to 7.3 megahertz without the necessity of either manual band changing or the need for a controller. Just attach the feed line and you're ready to talk. That's the Trans World Adventurer 4040. Go to their website. Take a look. Transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And now back to Chris Matthew, N7ICE, on QSO. You know, and all these repeaters are linked together, but such little activity. And I think that it would be cool, even if they had a central type chat room or something, you know, where people who are logged in are able to communicate with each other off the air and coordinate a QSO. I just think that would be great.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I've started working on a new feature in 73s.org that is kind of similar to what Facebook does, and it's the ability to create groups and join groups. So I could totally see someone creating like an EchoLink group inside of 73s and everyone joining it, and then all your topics or your blogs and your photos and your communications can be to groups, and you know, right there people could coordinate QSOs, you know, from the group, and, you know, with the click of a button could maybe even launch the Echo Link application or something, you know, right there on the desktop.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, too, and I've been working with a company called Trans World Antennas, and they build this stealth antenna. It's very small, and it fits into places you normally couldn't put an antenna in, and the performance is phenomenal. You know, and I'm thinking about all of the apartment dwellers and people that live in high-rise buildings. And, you know, as the population increases, the whole idea of having the space for an antenna outside is getting bleak. There's folks that they just simply don't have any room, and then between all the regulations and neighborhood associations and stuff like that, they're prohibited. So, and a lot of retirees who live in a high-rise apartment that have been active hams all their life, and when they have to move into a place like that, my God, you know, I can't even imagine trying to exist without being able to put up an antenna and to be able to communicate. You have something like 73s.org, you have something like Echolink, it takes on a whole different dimension. And so I would say, folks, you know, don't fight it, join it, you know. help it progress, because as we all get older, we're all going to wind up living somewhere where we maybe wouldn't want to live. And it would be so nice to be able to have the hobby with us in one form or another. But now tell us about the website. Folks that don't know anything about 73s.org, you go up on the web and you bring this up in your browser, and what are you going to see, and what can you expect?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun going on the site. Only hams can join, so part of the registration process, which only takes, you know, less than a minute, it does do a check against the QRZ call sign database to make sure you're in the database. And if you are, it goes ahead and lets you register. So we're trying to keep this locked down for hams only. You'll see a video. You'll see my mug right on the front of the site. I do a video I call Ham Brief TV every week. And I've been, you know, experimenting with podcasting for a while. I've been doing a bunch of programming related, like software development podcasts, and now I'm experimenting with video. And I pick a topic every week, from chasing AMSAT satellites to buying a brand new Yaesu 857 rig last week, and I film it. And so you can see adventures that I'm doing in ham radio right through the front page of 73s.org, or you can go directly to hambrief.tv for like a big, you know, high-def version of it. But you'll see a featured member of the day on 73s.org, so we randomly select a ham to feature. You'll see hams' blogs that they're writing in on 73s.org, as well as their status updates like we just talked about. You know, people saying, hey, I'm monitoring, you know, 10 meters right now, nothing's going on, what have you. And then you get to see comments about across the entire site, whether people are commenting on people's blog posts or their status updates or their walls. We have the same concept that Facebook has of everyone has a wall and you can comment on people's walls and do wall-to-wall. And there's photos you can see, like you were just talking, you see all the hams recently uploaded photos. And every ham has a profile page. So right there, you can type in someone's call sign on the call sign search, and it'll pull up their profile page. If they're not a member of 73s, it still goes off to QRZ, grabs all the information about the ham and pulls it in, including their photo from QRZ.com. So your buddies don't have to be on 73s for this to be useful. It still knows who they are. It still lets you add them to your QSO log that we track for you. And there's all sorts of things, from forums to, you know, the old school DX clusters that you would, you know, do in like a command window and stuff to watch DX activity. There's a real-time DX scrolling browser page. It's 73s.org/DX, and you can see the link on the site. That lets you watch real-time QSOs all over the world. And one of my goals, hopefully this weekend or next, is to put a Google map in front of that. So you'll be able to watch in real time all these QSOs as they happen across the globe. You know, who's talking to who, and I think that's going to be, you know, you were talking technology, and Ham's leading the way. I think for you to watch Google Earth or Google Maps at all of the real-time QSOs around the world through a web page is going to be really, really cool.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. I think people who are into DX would get addicted to that real quick. Well, you know, one thing that's cool, and it is being able to see a picture. And for pictures to be able to be updated. You're talking about video, you know, doing your video up there. The technology, I don't want to get off the beaten path, but the technology changes have been so fantastic that I myself, at my age, I get up on YouTube and I discover that about 6 hours have just passed. If I'm not careful, okay? And people say, how is that possible? You know, I was just a young child, and I remember watching the Lawrence Welk show on television, you know? So I just for the heck of it, I typed in Lawrence Welk, and there is a clip up there of Bobby Burgess and Barbara Boylan, I think, dancing to the song Calcutta in an orchestra setting. I know you don't even know what that is, okay? But nonetheless, the old guys do. And it's,
you know,
up
my
there.
Grandparents used to watch Lawrence Welk. I'm familiar with it.
I mean, this is on YouTube. I mean, there are live performances, orchestra performances of Burt Kempfert in the orchestra on YouTube. I mean, you can get lost in that thing. I don't care what city you're from. If you're from Chicago, you're from Detroit, you're from New York, there's old television clips of local television shows and things that you just even would not imagine. That are, of course, there's a lot of just nonsense up on YouTube. I mean, these people get in front of a camera and they'll do anything, you know. And say, but what I'm saying is trying to fight the technology is just crazy. I mean, it's non-ham. It's non-American, you know. I think for 73s.org to prosper in this time is a good thing. You know, we're big supporters of the league, the ARRL, and one thing that I am finding is we have different, I guess I want to say, sections of radio amateurs. We have some that are, there's some that just absolutely hate the league, and then there's others that love the league. And the ones that don't like the league, usually I find, are people who have been offended by one individual. Mm. Somebody inside the ARL or a member or somebody in their local state or something has offended them, and they draw the conclusion that there's something really wrong with the ARRL, okay? And I go back and I look at the progress that we've made. You know, you look at all the handbooks they've put out, all the antenna handbooks they've put out, the publications that go out every month, their website, their interaction, and all the things they sponsor. I mean, all the different, you know, like Field Day is a good example of that, you know. So, you know, everything on Earth, it seems like, has some sort of a downside. But if we don't get away from this mentality that that anything new is bad or anything that's different is bad, we will be the ones responsible for killing the hobby, or at least impairing it, I guess is a good term that I would use. So I think what you're doing is fantastic. Now, tell me, what is it that originally sparked your interest in ham radio? I'd like to know how you got into this.
Well, you know, I was always fascinated when I was younger. I didn't have any relatives that were into ham radio, but I just would bump into people that, you know, would have like even a little HT or something at the time. And it just always fascinated me with the hobby. And when I was in college, I bumped into someone who worked at IBM, and we just got on. I noticed he had an HT, and this was like a super geeky guy, I remember, and he took the time to explain to me, you know, really how fun the hobby was and what you could do with it, and how to find out more information about taking the no-code tech exam. And I just went off, started studying, and I went to a ham fest in Flagstaff, Arizona, took the test, and my wife bought me one of those Radio Shack HTX-202s as my first radio, and I was just hooked. For 18 years, I just mentioned, I've been a tech. I haven't even dabbled in the HF band, so now I'm looking at this as a whole new opportunity has just opened up for me that I'm, like, really excited to go old school, you know. I've been playing on the news side for so long, you know, I've even dabbled with some of, you know, the D-Star and the 23-centimeter radios and everything, you know, above, you know, VHF and above, and now I'm excited about going below. So really, really cool. And back to YouTube, you know, I'm seeing more and more people canceling their cable subscriptions and just going to movies through Apple TV, through YouTube, through Hulu, which is like, I think, Fox's TV shows, all online. Everything is going high def on and on demand on the web. It's really, really cool. I stumbled on a site that one of 73's members runs called hamradiotube.com. And what he's doing is he's taking all the old ham radio videos and trying to organize those in a YouTube-style fashion for ham radio operators. So I do think that this is attracting new hams into the hobby, these social networks, and kind of like the IBM guy did for me, you know, really expose, and that's what I'm trying to do with my ham brief videos, trying to expose, you know, really high-tech, really cool things that you can do with radios to with the hobby to bring new life into it. And, you know, the motto we keep saying is that, you know, people are always worried about, you know, government taking away bands or frequencies from us. Well, the best way to protect them is to use them.
We'll be right back with Chris Matthew, N7ICE, right after this. As a QSO listener, we really need to hear from you. We would like to know you're listening. We'd like to know how you feel about the radio show. We'd like to hear some suggestions. What would you like to hear more of? What would you like to hear less of? And you can do that by going to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. There's a place that says email Ted or some such nonsense as that's on the page. Click on that button and send me an email because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want to hear more of, less of, what you think about the program, where you're listening. How is it coming in on the shortwave? Is it coming in real good where you're at? And what about the time? Is this a good time? Would you prefer it on at a better time? And what would that better time be? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll even send you a QSL card if you'll send us an email. Once again, go to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. And where it says Contact Ted, just click on that little tab and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to QSO. Week after week, you hear us talk about Transworld antennas, and you hear us talk about the TW2010, the 4040, the Backpacker, and all these different antennas. Of course, the TW2010 Adventurer came first. Folks were amazed at its performance. Then they introduced the Backpacker, and now the 4040. Go to EHAM and read the reviews on the TW2010. Just go to EHAM and read those reviews. Now, you can do that by going to transworldantennas.com. Just go to transworldantennas.com. Transworld Antennas, one word. Go to transworldantennas.com. There's a link on that page that'll take you right straight to the EHAM reviews. Or you can just go to EHAM yourself. And if you're a ham, you know how to get to EHAM on the internet. Just Google it. You'll get there. And read the reviews. See what other amateur radio operators are saying about this antenna. Thank you. And now back to Chris Matthew, N7ICE on QSO.
So the more life we can pump back into the ham radio, you know, my license, when I went down this morning, there must have been 30 people taking new tests or upgrading, and that was so exciting to see. And anything we can do to energize the hobby or bring new people into it, I'm all for any idea that we can do to make that happen.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a number of things that I've kind of discovered on my own. When we were at Huntsville, we were broadcasting live on shortwave there on two stations, and we were right next door to the Vibraplex booth, and I had a chance to engage in conversation, and I found out that since the regulations on CW have been lifted,
mm-hmm.
they're selling more product.
I absolutely believe that. And there's a lot of old-timers that are just, they think if you don't have your CW, you don't deserve the license. Well, you know, that's back to what we're saying. If people aren't coming on these bands, you know, that we will lose them. So my message to them is get over it. Be as inviting as you can. I've always found, for the most part, hams to be very honest, cool people that you can trust. And, you know, we've got to keep that spirit there and keep it inviting. And, you know, I had to remind people when they got into this flame war on the S in my domain that, you know, are there new people that could be potentially watching this thread? And, you know, we certainly wouldn't want to discourage someone from getting into the hobby by this type of behavior. So, you know, let's get on the program.
Well, you know, I'll tell you.
S or no S, and let's support it.
Behavior is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about this controversy, behavior is a big, big thing. And it's a big thing to me. Number one, we don't know, especially on the HF bands, you have absolutely no idea who is listening to you.
True.
You have no idea. You have no idea what kind of an impression you're going to make. And especially up on these forums. Now, I'll tell you, EHAM and QRZ have done absolute fantastic jobs. I you know, it's unbelievable the community that they have tied together and the amount of influence that they have in the ham community now, not just in the ham community, but in just the general public. People go up there and look at that stuff. They read it. They're interested in it. You know, they want to find out more. But, you know, the conduct has, sometimes I wonder a little bit because, you know, I think that everybody wants to be accepted. I think everybody wants to be popular. You know, everybody'd like to be on the air and have to know that they have a lot of friends. They have peers, you know, people that look up to them. And yet the approach that they take, for the most part, in a lot of cases, is really counter to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, the CW people that are diehards that say, look, if you don't know, if you can't do 15 words a minute on the air, you really don't deserve a license. If you can't do 5 words a minute, you don't deserve a license. Well, maybe there ought to be a rule said that if you don't know what a subnet mask is, you don't get a license, pal. Okay?
Yeah, time moves forward, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you can't log into a Linux box and get a directory to list, no license, pal, okay? All right, now, I mean, it's crazy to think like that, because what we're after in amateur radio is diversification. We want different people to be experts in all these different areas of interest, because those are the areas they're going to pursue, those are the areas they're going to perfect. And I think the important thing is for us to be able to recognize the value of another person's direction. And if, for example, I love listening to these guys on AM, I will tune in to, and I'm checking what the frequency is, the 3880 or somewhere in that, there's an AM window down there. And I tune in one night, and I hear this guy talking about this AM transmitter he's got that is homebrew that is using PDM modulation.
Hmm.
And he sounds wonderful. I mean, he's like high fidelity.
Wow.
You know, and there's a lot of guys up on sideband that say, boy, I don't want to fool with that. I mean, that's just crazy. Those guys, they take up so much bandwidth. They do this. But they're perfecting a science, and only God himself knows what can come out of that, what they might discover fooling around with this stuff, even though it's old technology. it fascinates me because I come out of a broadcast environment, you know, and so I listen, and I've got a friend of mine up in New York that works for a transmitter company, and he's just been all over me, you know, to get, so I picked up some AM transmitters and stuff, and I've had this, I'm going to do this someday, but I listen quite a little bit on the AM window, and I think it's really cool. I mean, I love listening to those guys. Now, sometimes the band isn't right. AM can be a real chore to listen to. But when the band conditions are right, it's really easy on the ears. I mean, it's it just sounds lovely, you know. And people that are into data and all the different facets, people that are into talking and working on satellites and all these different things, it may not interest you as an individual, but it certainly interests these other fellas, you know. And I guess for us to grow as a hobby, if we're really interested in survival over the next so many years, so there'll be pictures of our kind of people in the handbooks, like there are pictures of Hiram Percy Maxim.
Exactly. You know, I was having a chat with someone the other day about D-Star, and they were basically being very negative about the ability to surf the web over a ham radio on D-Star, and how that really wasn't ham radio. That ham radio just needed to stick to voice. And you know, I tried pointing out, and I think they understood this at that point. I tried pointing out the usefulness in like an emergency type of situation. If you have the ability to, you know, if you've got, you know, power going out around you, communications are down in a disaster situation, and if you can pull up an internet site and access vital records to do a service or pass data in addition to the voice conversations, I mean, right there alone, this is life-saving technology, whether you think it should be allowed or not. These advances save lives.
Well, you know, I don't under, like, once again, we're getting back to behavior. I don't understand. I just don't understand that kind of behavior. I really don't. You know, being able to advance forward. I mean, you're obviously, you like D-Star, and I've heard a lot of good things about D-Star, but it's a cutting edge thing, you know, and mm-hmm. it's something that the guys that love this, you know, applaud them and applaud the development in this area, because that is what's really going to cause the hobby, the different facets that amateur radio takes on and the different purposes that we can fill, especially in the time of need, is what validates our existence. Yep. And I don't know. I mean, I think that I want to see more hams. I want to see younger people attracted into this hobby.
And you know, there's a teacher down in Tucson, Arizona, who I just love to talk about him. And I can't remember his call sign, but he uses ham radio in high school. It's not a well-funded school that he's in, and he turns out probably 15 to 20 high school students into amateur radio every year with their license. And he uses it to teach them, you know, the science and mathematics. And he gets into amateur television, and he even gets into, like, robotics and remote control with RF. And he's found that by using this type of technology, he can translate the purpose of, you know, mathematical formulas or sciences. You know, why is a sine wave important, you know? And these kids are you know, phenomenally impressed and excited about ham radio, and I think they're doing better in school. You know, he had an opportunity to when Richard Garriott, I think was his name, up in space, he had a QSO with on the news with all the kids gathered around. And you know, how cool is that to even a sixth grader, someone that says they've talked to an astronaut, you know, over a ham radio?
We'll be right back with Chris Matthew, N7ICE. right after this. Have you been looking for a place to put a website? Have you thought about putting your own website up, or possibly you've got your own right now and you're not real happy? The name to think about and remember is Tux-Support.com. Tux like Tuxedo, the little penguin, the mascot for Linux, the Linux operating system. Tux-Support.com. Just remember that name. If you're looking for a website for your amateur radio club, your church, your organization, your business, or even a personal site, you need a place to put that site, and you want a simple way to put it together and maintain it. One word or one company to remember, that's tux-support.com. Tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. Tux-support.com. The only name you need to know when it comes to your website. As a QSO listener, we really need to hear from you. We would like to know you're listening. We'd like to know how you feel about the radio show. We'd like to hear some suggestions. What would you like to hear more of? What would you like to hear less of? And you can do that by going to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. There's a place that says email Ted or some such nonsense as that's on the page. Click on that button and send me an email, because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want to hear more of, less of, what you think about the program, where you're listening. How is it coming in on the shortwave? Is it coming in real good where you're at? And what about the time? Is this a good time? Would you prefer it on at a better time? And what would that better time be? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll even send you a QSL card if you'll send us an email. Once again, go to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. And where it says Contact Ted, just click on that little tab and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to QSO. And now back to Chris Matthew, N7ICE, on QSO.
I think we need more people doing things like that, especially for the youth.
Well, you know, there's two sides to this. The first side is the fact that technology itself has moved forward so quickly, and there's so many things that young people have in their hands today that were just dreams years ago. You know, just the fact that you can carry a little thing in your pocket, you know, and communicate with anybody in the world and send pictures to them, and you can even check your email and stuff. It's called a cell phone. You know, just the fact that those things exist has taken the technology edge way over. And then with high definition television and video over the internet and all the different things that we have on it as a staple today. I guess I want to say that if we aren't cognizant of these technologies, and if we expect young people to be attracted only to the old technology, well, then there's something wrong upstairs. We're not thinking correctly. We're off.
Yeah, the hobby will die if it's not more attractive than the cell phone technology that people have in their pocket today.
And as far as education is concerned, the other side of that, I didn't do well in high school math at all. I couldn't relate anything to it, okay? But then all of a sudden, I had a very intense interest in algebra when it came time now to figure out the length of an antenna and start working with frequency and wavelength and impedance formulas. Then all of a sudden,
there's a purpose. There's a reason, right?
Yeah, I'm like, wow, I need to learn this stuff, you know. You know. So relating it through ham radio is that's a beautiful thing. Plus the fact we're looking at international culture. We're talking about getting acquainted with people in foreign lands that live in completely different circumstances than we do.
Yeah, this is a global world that we're in today, right? And ham radio is no different.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I saw an article about the number of new hams, or the growth of ham radio in India has been phenomenal lately. It's kind of like one of the hottest growing areas for ham radio, and I think that's fantastic. And if it can put more hams in touch with each other for common good, maybe hams will solve world peace. I don't know.
Well, this is the way this works, and that is, you know, when you see, it's like with your site, 73s.org, when you see the picture of an individual, and then you begin to read a little bit about their personal interests and, like you said, their comments they make on a daily basis, and friends of theirs that they hang on their site and that log in and become part of their little domain inside of 73s. It becomes very, very difficult to get crossways with these people. Once you see them, you hear something from them, you learn a little bit about them. It really enhances the public relations side of ham radio, and I think it increases better behavior amongst hams.
I do, too.
I have been pushing really hard, and I've said to folks, if you've let your membership from the ARRLs, you know, go by the wayside, renew it. You know, get back in the game. One of the things that I think QSO has done is we put people's voices on the air, and even though ham radio is primarily, for the most part, a voice-type thing, when you think about it, most of the folks that you read about in QST or most of the hams that are in some spotlight for one reason or another, you never hear their voice. You never get to know. You never get to know somebody that is the editor of QST, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
Or, you know, you never get to know somebody like Dennis Moseson, who is the editor of CQ. You never get to know these people.
Yep.
You see their pictures, you hear about them, and you may hear somebody say something that's negative about them. Well, I don't like this because they do this. But when you hear this person's voice and you hear them talk and you hear the passion in their speech and all that kind of thing, you get closer to that person, and it becomes more difficult to be at odds with them, much like it's much more difficult to be at odds with someone face-to-face as it is at a distance or on the telephone or even in some other situation. So to me, I see this website as being a way of being able to bring people closer together and bringing out the human side of ham radio.
You are totally right. On 73s.org, there are some of the editors from This Week in Amateur Radio. I have seen folks from the ARRL on here, as well as CQ Magazine, and you can follow people. With 73s, you could, if you find someone that you think is interesting, or you know, maybe a ham radio celebrity, for instance, you can follow them, and you automatically become their friends. If they follow you back, you're friends, and anything you do or they do, you get nightly summary alerts of all activity of all the people that you're interested in following on 73s.org. And it does strengthen you know, relationships, even though you've never met that person, or maybe you've never had an opportunity to have a QSO with them on the air. You do feel like you know them. They are friends, in essence, through the community. And, you know, if you're ever able to, you know, have a QSO in the future, or you meet up with them at an ARRL event or something, you know each other automatically without ever having a QSO on the air. And you know what people, where they stand on topics, what their interests are. And it does strengthen the whole ham community and your relationships with people of similar interests. We all have interest in ham radio, but you know, we might also have interest in robotics too, for instance. So I can find all of the ham radio people that are building robots online, and you know, it really helps create stronger community. And when you do have an opportunity for that QSO, it's so much better. You're actually friends at that point.
Well, I have two sons that are into ham radio. And also into engineering. And we're all of us are members of the Society of Broadcast Engineers, and we're all into the radio business. But now let me just use this as an example. The online connections my younger son, Matt, has. Now, he's chief engineer for a fellow by the name of Dave Ramsey, who is a financial guru.
Let's see, why does that name sound familiar?
Well, he's on Fox TV every day. He's on all these different shows like O'Reilly, Good Morning America, Geraldo. I mean, he appears everywhere. Well, my son Matt, who is their chief engineer, you know, he would have never wound up in the position he's in unless he'd have had a ham license and learned hands-on things. I mean, he knows things and can do things. He's very apt in areas. They call him MacGyver because he can patch just about anything together. But a lot of that strength came from online relationships that he had with other people from a technical nature. Now, what you're talking about, too, this is very interesting. My son, David, who is also a chief engineer with Trevecca Nazarene University in Nashville, his call sign is KG4WXW. He just got his general. He's been corresponding with a fellow over in the Netherlands for, I don't know, years, I guess, 2 or 3 years. They've got to be very close friends online. They've never seen each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow had to come to the States to take on some schooling. And so David took me with him, and we went to Ohio, where he was at one of the universities where the classes was being conducted. And they met for the first time. And it was amazing to watch these two young guys because it was like they had known each other for 20 years.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
They had exchanged so much information online and pictures and thoughts, and every night, you know, David would come home and he's working and doing his thing, and they've got their stuff open in a chat room, and they'd actually met through, I think, an online game, you know, which was just, you know, unbelievable, you know. So I had a chance to meet this young man, and he was quite remarkable. And that friendship has been very, very strong. And my son David now has a four-year-old, which is my grandchild, and he's now online with this bunch of guys, and they play what he calls the shooting game, and they converse back and forth in a chat room and whatnot. And it's amazing to watch the motor skill development and the reasoning development and his vocabulary and all these things. Even though he's 4 years old, I'm thinking, this is stuff that we didn't have when we were younger, but it's all part of this new technology. It's all part of this online community. Now, the thing I'd like to do is this. I'm sure there's people listening that maybe don't quite understand. They've never logged into Facebook. They really don't know what that's all about. So I was going to say, let's give these folks a primer as to what to do, where to go, and how to get started getting involved in 73s.org. which is, I think, a marvelous thing to do. So I want you to lead the way in that. And keep in mind, we've got folks out there. We've got young people, older people. We've got grandpas. We got grandmas. Matter of fact, we just did an interview with Marie, and I can't recall her last name. This is embarrassing. That happens when you get older. But she just got her general ticket. Marie Esnault. Her husband developed and was the pioneer on the first Oscar satellite, and she just got her general ticket at age 82. So, you know, we've got a cross-section of folks out there that are really remarkable. I did an interview about a week ago with Phineas Eisenbeis, and I don't remember what his call sign is. He is the section manager for Los Angeles with the ARRL, and Phineas is up in his late 80s, and he talks to you on the telephone as if he were in his 20s. He developed the very first RF ballon ever to be used anywhere. He built the very first amateur radio transceiver while working for the Collins Radio Company. His story is remarkable. So we have a real cross-section of people. So what I want you to do is I want you to start very basic as a primer. And we now have turned this into an online and radio class, ladies and gentlemen. If you are interested in getting started and learning about 73s.org, Chris, I want you to start from the beginning and tell folks what they would have to do, and when they go through these steps, how cool this is and what they can do with all this.
Yeah, thank you. It's really easy. You don't have to be a member of Facebook or any of the other social media sites, so you don't have to feel like you've missed the you know, the bandwagon. You go to 73s.org, 73s.org, and you'll see right there at the top of the page, it'll say log in or sign up. New users, just click on the sign up, and what it'll do is it'll ask you to put in your call sign and your name and a password. And what it does, it's going to verify your call sign against the QRZ call sign database. So that is probably the biggest database of collection of international call signs that I've been able to find. If for some reason, if you're not in that call sign database, if you're in the United States, you're automatically in it, and most also. If it won't let you log in through or sign up through 73s.org, it'll tell you that you're not in the database, so you'll have to do that. But 9 times out of 10, 99% of the time, you're in there. The registration takes less than a second, and you'll get a dashboard. Okay, so the dashboard, once you log in, it has all of the steps, what you can do with 73s.org. It'll walk you through setting up your bio so that people, you know where you live, where's your QTH, what's your email address. It'll let you upload like a photo so that people, you know, like Ted was just talking about, you know, get familiar with your face, get familiar with you. You become more, I strongly recommend uploading your photo. You become more personal at that point.
And now, for those who are not, I'm going to just say, for those who have never uploaded a photo, why don't you give some basic instructions as to how that's done or how simple that is?
Oh, that's a really good point. It actually says, you click on the upload photo button, and what it does is it takes you to a page that has like a browse button on it. When you click the browse button, it opens up your computer's disk drive section with all your folders and so forth. And so you look around on your PC, you know, like My Pictures or wherever you store your photos on your computer, and you select the one you want to upload, and then you hit upload. So, I mean, it's not scary. It doesn't have to be scary. There's kind of like a step-by-step wizard you'll see that when you go to upload, you just say upload photo, you click browse, and you find the photo you want, and you click upload. And that'll bring it in and set up your account for you. It's pretty automatic. Hopefully I've laid this out in a way that's not scary, but I'm always looking for advice. If you get stuck, by all means, I can give my email address out. It's N7ICE. That's my call sign, at 73s.org. Send me an email. I'll be happy to walk you through signing up. It's free. There's no charge whatsoever. This is purely nonprofit for hams, by hams, just to promote the hobby. And you'll see once you create your bio and have your photo up there, you've got all sorts of things you can do. You don't have to do any, or you can do all of them. You can upload more photos of your ham shack so that you can start sharing more photos of your family, your travels, your radios, you know, your shack there. You can also, you've heard blogs by now, probably. All they are kind of online diaries, if you will, where you can just write about your day, write about your hobby, you know, what you enjoy doing about ham radio, write about your, you know, a radio review or whatever you want to share with people. You can do that through a blog, through 73s, by just clicking on the blog link.
Well, isn't eHam and QRZ to some degree ham blogs, if you want to call it, because they're like a dialogue. You know, there are people continue to add comments and whatnot.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I mean, I think those are like they technically call those forums, and blogs you could pretty much look as a forum. Maybe the only difference is someone could see all of your posts all in a row. They can subscribe. Now, I'm getting a little technical here, but you can subscribe with RSS, real simple syndication. to blogs in 73s.org so that you can share your content with people in feed readers, like RSS feed readers, for people that are like reading tons of content. They don't have to actually even go to a website. You know,
we'll be right back with Chris Matthew, N7ICE, right after this.
If you like to travel, if you're a camper, if you'd like to take your ham radio hobby with you when you go, you need the Trans World Antennas TW2010L Backpacker Antenna. It's the same exact antenna as the TW2010 Adventurer, with the exception it's been streamlined for the person who likes to camp and travel light. It's the same rugged antenna structure as the TW2010, with the black powder coating and stealth design. We all know the TW2010 is a great permanent or portable antenna, but the TW2010L Backpacker takes portable and emergency operation to an entirely new level. It's especially suited for the amateur operator who loves backpacking, cycling, camping, and makes easy access and quick setup possible for the most extenuating emergencies. TW2010L Backpacker Antenna is available now for a limited time for only $399.95. That's right, $399.95. Pricing includes backpacker, quadra stand, carrying bag, and free shipping in the continental United States through FedEx Ground. That's transworldantennas.com. And now for a limited time, only $399.95. That's transworldantennas.com.
And now back to Chris Matthew, N7ICE, on QSO.
And you don't have to be all this technical. You just write your blog in 73s.org, and then your RSS feeds are all created for you by the site. And they help share your ham stories by people, far people, you know, across the world. I'm diverging a little bit, but I created another site called hamfeed.com. And hamfeed is like news of all the ham radio stories around the world. And you can go to that to find blog entries from everyone's personal blogs, including your 73s.org blog, all in one place. So maybe something to keep in mind. You play with that after you log into 73s.org. But really, really, it gives you an opportunity to share your story with a broader audience and find more people that are interested in what you're doing, because they can comment about the article you wrote. They can also follow you through 73s.org, and every time you do something in 73s, like you write a new blog, they automatically get like an alert that says, hey, come back and check out Ted's new posting on such and such. So it helps you stay even more connected, or people stay more connected with you as you're doing things. So every time you upload a new photo, all your friends, you know, get a message saying, hey, come back and check out Ted's new photos. So you'll see when you get in there. There's lots of things you can do, and you can start off really simple, really slow, just create an account and look at other people's blogs and updates and photos, or you can add your own.
When a person goes in, they log in, and let's say that they have a photo of themselves or a photo of their station. It's on their computer. It's easy for them at that point to add that photo to their new little site, if you want to call it that, up on 73s.org. But now, when we get into the bios, you're talking about writing a bio. So what exactly constitutes a person putting a bio up there? How difficult is that? How do they do that?
Yep, it's part of the setup. You can add more things, like if you have email address and like other like accounts, you can add all that. And then there's like a place for you to write either a sentence or a paragraph or a page about yourself. I think I just have a little paragraph about me. And what happens is everyone gets an automatic profile page. It's kind of like having your own website. And it's really easy to find anyone's profile page on 73s, because you can go to 73s.org/whatever the call sign is. So if you want to see my profile page, it's 73s.org/N7ICE. or you can, you know, search me on online or click on my photo, and you'll see my profile page. On your profile page, there's your bio, all the photos you've uploaded, all the blog postings or articles that you've written is there, all of the friends that you have, all of the groups that you're involved in on 73s.org. So basically, someone can get a snapshot just by going to 73s.org/your call sign. They can get a snapshot of everything you're involved in, all the content you're creating, your photos, your even YouTube videos. You can link to, if you have a YouTube account, you can put your account name in 73s, and it brings in your YouTube videos all in one spot for people to see. If you have a Flickr account where you've already using another photo posting service, you can pull all your Flickr photos into 73s.org. So when someone goes to your profile page, they really have get to know you stuff, you know, right there, quick and easy for them to share.
In regards to you know, placing up a bio and all that kind of thing, if a ham sees a particular link to a website or a web story, can they not put that link up there and share that with other folks in their group and also other people that are on 73s?
Absolutely. Everything is clickable through 73s, and if you see something else, you're right, you can just put the link inside of your bio or inside of a blog post that you've done, and then it's automatically shared with anyone who comes to your profile page or whoever's following you. They automatically... It's a vehicle that lets you just share everything of your online experience with other hams. So absolutely, there's so many links you can click. I mean, you know, like you were watching YouTube for 6 hours. I think you could just make a fun day out of 73s as well.
So you're getting acquainted. You know, this is the thing. You're getting acquainted with hams that, for the most part, you would have no way of meeting or would never even know about.
True.
And you're seeing their pictures, their bios, probably pictures of their shack, and reading their blogs as to their entries, as to, you know, some people go up, I suppose, and write something in their blog every day about what they've done. And
they do.
You know, so this is a whole different method of keeping up with folks and getting acquainted with a group of people. And it's something that the guys shouldn't, the people in the ham radio business, we shouldn't be afraid of any of this. You know, this is, should be, you know, old hat to us. So this is something that's staple. What I'd like for you to do is tell me, if you would, and I don't want to impose on people's privacy here, but tell me, if you would, some of the more interesting folks that log in on a regular basis that have caught your attention and you find yourself, you know, fascinated with their entries and pictures and bios and things that kind of stand out. I'm sure there's some that you can talk about.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at this one guy's profile now. I went to my once you log in, you have your dashboard. You can click on your network. So as you start following people, you can watch their activity, and you can, you know, you see their photo, and you can read more about them. There's a past president of, his name is Harrison Scott. He's past president of GM Amateur Radio Club. And, you know, what's cool is you can just follow their posts. And another guy in town, in Phoenix here, his name is Lauren. He runs he's a net control operator for the local 2100 net. We meet every night at 9 o'clock. I have learned more about Lauren through 73s than checking into that net every night. So I feel like I've gotten to know fellow hams even more, and he of me, so that when we do get on the net together, we just have all these inside chuckles of, you know, people don't even know what we're talking about. But it's an interesting way to just stay more plugged into the community and make more friends. If you find someone that you really like hearing stories about, and maybe they stop, you know, maybe you haven't seen a blog post from them in a week or two, and you kind of start missing it. I just added a feature where you can nudge them. It politely sends them an email that says, you know, hey, Harrison Scott, you know, Chris would like you to come back to 73.org and write another blog post, you know. So I think it helps keep you engaged. Other people can help keep you engaged and vice versa in contributing and sharing and really adding to the community. I love waking up in the morning, going to just, if you just go to 73s.org, the homepage itself, it lists the three most recent status updates that hams have made, the three most recent blog posts that hams have put out there, the 10 most recent members that have joined, and the 10 most recent comments, and the 10 most recent, I think 20 most recent photos that people have uploaded. So just going to the homepage of the site, you get a snapshot of all the activity, you know, that's happened in the past hour or day on 73s, and then you can just click on anything out there. Click on anyone's picture, and you can, like, go to their profile page, and then you see all their friends, and you're like, wow, this guy's interesting. You click on that ham, and then you see his profile page, and you can see how you get spiraled. You know, you could end up spending 6 hours on here just learning about other people's projects and more about ham radio, and you can comment on their walls or comment about on their blog posts, and it's just a community of hams that really enjoy talking with other hams.
Now, you use the term walls. A lot of folks are probably not going to be familiar with what that is. Why don't you talk about that? Tell me a little bit about, tell folks what a wall is.
Yeah, I basically borrowed that concept from Facebook. You know, Facebook's got 150 million members, so they're doing something right. So I said, okay, well, in a social network, they have this concept of walls. It's your profile page, the ability for people to make comments on your profile page, and they call that a wall. It's like your wall. I guess it's like graffiti. Maybe you could think about it like that, where anyone can, you know, that's a member of 73s.org can make a comment on your profile page that other hams can see. And I've never seen anything bad. I've always seen, you know, really funny things, like people saying, hey, I love that new video you posted, or hey, I didn't know that we had any people from North Dakota on the site, you know, and then they start talking, and you can, there's a button where you can say wall to wall, view your wall to their wall. And what it does is it excludes everyone else's comments out of their wall and your wall. So it becomes like a direct, like a direct public messaging thing where you can talk back and forth and other hams can share. There's also an ability to send them a direct message that's kind of like email inside of 73s.org that's private. So don't think that everything you do has to be, you know, for public use, although I think that's the most fun content. You could send private messages to other hams and coordinate QSOs, but when I've done it publicly, I've found other hams in the same area that are also available and would like, you know, to QSO. So what I found anyway is the more public you share the content, the more fun it actually becomes.
We'll be right back with Chris Matthew, N7ICE, right after this. If you already own a TW20 10 Adventurer or Backpacker antenna, and you want to use the antenna on 40 meters, you can get the Trans World Adventurer 4040 Array Box in center section only, right now only $139.95. That puts you on 40 meters, and you're dealing with the exact same antenna structure that has made the TW2010 Trans World Adventurer so famous. The black powder coating, the stealth, the way the antenna is able to hide, and in addition to that, it's portable if you want to take it with you. Of course, you can get it with a deluxe travel bag. It's just fantastic. Go to the website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. If you can't remember Trans World Antennas, just remember to go to our website at QSO, tedrandall.com, TEDRANDALL.com, and click on the link for Trans World Antennas. take a look at this brand new Adventurer 4040. As a QSO listener, we really need to hear from you. We would like to know you're listening. We'd like to know how you feel about the radio show. We'd like to hear some suggestions. What would you like to hear more of? What would you like to hear less of? And you can do that by going to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. There's a place that says email Ted or some such nonsense as that's on the page. Click on that button and send me an email because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want to hear more of, less of, what you think about the program, where you're listening. How is it coming in on the shortwave? Is it coming in real good where you're at? And what about the time? Is this a good time? Would you prefer it on at a better time? And what would that better time be? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll even send you a QSL card if you'll send us an email. Once again, go to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. And where it says Contact Ted, just click on that little tab and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to QSO. And now back to Chris Matthew, N7ICE on QSO. Now, let's just suppose for a moment that somebody goes up on your wall and puts something up there that you don't like. Are you able to take that down?
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. I was just wondering. And you say you don't see anything like that anyways, but just like the behavior you've witnessed in some other areas, I'm sure as this grows, that might be a situation that you might run into. So it'd be a good insurance policy for folks to know that if somebody goes up there and puts something on your wall and you don't like it, you can just go in there and delete it, you know, get rid of it.
There's a little X next to each of the comments. It's one click, and you can make it go away. So, you know, I was thinking that I've never needed this, but I was thinking about a feature, you know, to block, you know, other hams. I mean, if you ever get to the point where you do get someone on there that's antagonistic, which I haven't seen, thankfully, it's on my list of features that you would be able to just say, listen, I don't want to see any of their comments. So it, like, would just automatically make them invisible to you. It's the invisible cloak.
Yeah, well, you know,
that feature's coming.
That feature exists on some online things I've noticed, and there must be a reason for it at some point in time, you know. But I'd like to think, and I know you would too, that we don't need that in the world of amateur radio. Although, it would be kind of nice on the HF bands if there was a little setting on the transceiver where you could punch in a guy's call sign, hit the button, and he'd just disappear.
You know, I forgot to mention, but there's a whole directory of repeaters that are available, too. So if you're on, like, VHF, UHF, and you're in a new city or even your current city, it's all free. You can go to repeaters by city or by, you know, around the world and pull up a list of repeaters, frequencies, offsets, PL tones, all of that's there. Clubs, you can list your club if they're not already on here, the link to the actual club site. Events, you know, I've been trying to get to the local near space weather balloon launch, you know, where they've got ham gear strapped to a weather balloon, and we're trying to track balloon launches when those are happening. We put them in the event calendar or ham fest so that, you know, we can open it up larger for more hams to know about events that are coming. And then what I was just talking about the groups where it's a brand new feature I've added, and I'm going to be adding a lot more functionality around that. Anyone can create groups on the fly, and even if it's a group of two, you know, people that maybe share a particular interest, you'll have lots of things that I'm going to keep adding to this that you can more easily communicate with groups of people with common interests, or maybe clubs or nets. You know, that's a big thing I'm interested in right now. Is I want to design the groups so that a net control operator could basically run an entire net off of this group page. So there's so much stuff you can get lost in here. We have forums like the EHAM and QRZ. We also have gear. You know, you can post your gear for free or look through classifieds of ham gear. You could get lost on all the fun things you could do on here.
It's, you know, and I guess what I like is the fact that it isn't singled out. In other words, it isn't It isn't a just a particular type of interest in that anyone in amateur radio with any number of interests will find something there that that interests them, and in a group of people of like interest, being able to locate those people and being able to form a friendship with them, and to continue, you know, in that vein. I guess one of the things I was going to ask you about is, you know, how do you find the time to do all this?
I have a very supportive wife. That's the first key right there. I have an awesome wife. She's studying to become a technician ham herself, and I love to program. So for me, this has been I'm basically marrying two of my hobbies. I love to write software, and I love ham radio. And I tell you, I have just as much fun building like a new feature, like the groups feature, as I do working a ham radio. So for me, this it's like my evening weekend type project, but it's not work at all for me. It's something that I really, really enjoy to do. And, you know, like I said, I've got an awesome wife who's very supportive, who likes the hobby also, who's, you know, I've been a ham. You know, she bought me my first radio 18 years ago and has really promoted it with me. So I think I'm just really, really lucky like that. And I really appreciate the time that I've had to build 73s. And I didn't expect it to be as successful as it's becoming. You know, it's kind of like you hear people that just build something in the garage and put it out there kind of for their own use, and then all of a sudden other people start thinking it's useful also. And that's really a cool feeling when other people think that what you're building is cool too.
Well, I want to say this, something happened to me, and why I think that everyone in amateur radio should pay attention to this. You know, I'm working on a little project here, and I went out and got one of these flash recorders. Are you familiar with those things there?
Oh, yes. I've got a bunch laying around.
All right. Well, this one is the one I got is the Zoom, and it's it'll operate as a recording device on its own with two built-in microphones, although it does sound much better with two Heil PR30s plugged into it, or 40s. You could record a symphony on the thing. And it's got all sorts of formats. You can do MP3 directly to the flash drive, or you can record just linear. And but it also operates as an outboard sound card. And so you can plug it in. So I was given a brand new notebook for Christmas. As a matter of fact, it's a Dell with Vista. You know, and although I've been somewhat skeptical of Vista. Only because they've rearranged the icons and all the locations inside of Vista. So if you're accustomed to XP, even though Vista will probably do the function, trying to find where to do it is like, you know, it's like putting a blindfold on and going into a room full of furniture. And I plugged this thing in, and it actually worked as an outboard sound card. But the strange thing was, it would only record in mono. I could not get it to do stereo to save my life. And I thought, now, why is that? And something hit me, and that is, you know what? It used to be years ago, when I would run into some sort of a technical problem, I could fire up the ham rig and get on the air and talk to a bunch of hams, and these guys were knowledgeable, and we'd get something figured out pretty quick. There was always somebody on there that knew much, much more than I did. The problem we're suffering from now, and I got to thinking about this, I can't really do that. I can't go to HF and jump on a frequency and ask someone about it, because some of those guys up there are computer illiterate. I mean, they can check their email, but they just don't have any knowledge at all when it gets into the operating systems and all that. And that's the stuff we really should be up on. We should know all this stuff, you know.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking to myself, where do you go? You know, who could I talk to? Who in amateur radio could I go to right now and say, what do you think this is? Is there some way to solve this? You know. And it's always better, I think, when hams are able to solve a problem on their own because they know about it than it is to pick up the telephone and try to call somebody at tech support. And then
I agree.
Get connected to someone that you can't understand on the other end of the telephone.
Yeah.
So, in other words, what I'm saying is that that's, to me, one of the reasons why something like 73s.org is so important, because I know for a fact that folks you have up there are all going to have at least a little bit above average computer skills. And there's going to be some folks up there like yourself that are programmers and things like that, to where if you were to find that or locate that person and ask a question, they can help you guess. You know, they can help you get close to the problem. Does that make any sense at all?
Totally. And I would recommend either going to 73s.org, writing like a little blog post with your question, or if you're working on a cool project that you want more people to know about, you might find that just by posting a blog post in 73s.org, that you might find 10 other people that think what you're doing is really cool and either may want to help or they're doing it also. And then you kind of could get to the wall-to-wall comments or comments in the blog where hams are helping each other with a particular issue. Or the forum that we have in 73s.org, you could post a topic in a thread and other people can join in on the thread and make comments about it. And one of the cool things I did, I was trying to figure out how do I make all of this information searchable. And I started down the road of building kind of my own search engine in 73s.org, and I was thinking, wow, that's, after like a day, I thought, that's like a whole project in and of itself. And I went out to Google. I mean, these are the experts in search, right? I went to Google, and they had this thing where you can add custom site search, Google custom site search in your site. And that was like a 15-minute little API I had to add. And now, when you use the search feature inside of 73s.org, it actually performs a Google search over everything in 73s.org. So it ignores everything outside of 73s.org, focuses on the community, and it'll find any blog or any forum or any comment anyone's made about that particular problem in 73s.org. And you can get right to it, you can direct message the ham, you can comment about it. And I think that alone, really is one step forward to helping people with those types of questions that you were just talking about.
Well, something that's really cool, I just noticed that the league has come up with, and I am really talking out of turn here because I don't know all the particulars, but it's some sort of a building contest, a project contest, where you build up something from scratch, and I think the parts list has to be under $50, okay?
Wow.
It's a contest, all right? And I could see where, a group of guys, hey, what a better place to go than 73s.org and get together and brainstorm over some projects and whatnot. And because it used to be, you'd build up something and something wasn't working right, and you could get with technical people and ask a question, and they'd be saying, well, wait a minute, why are you using this value of resistance on this transistor, mm-hmm. or whatever. And you can get the problem worked out. Well, this new little contest that they've got going, I think, is wonderful, because to build something from scratch, I mean, you don't see it done anymore, and radios have got to the point now when you lift the top off of your amateur rig and you look down inside, it's like looking in under the hood of a new automobile.
Absolutely.
You scratch your head and say, what is all this? There's nothing user-friendly in here. I can't work on this thing, And so we're kind of losing the art of building, we're inventing, I guess I want to say, on a small scale. So I think that this thing that they're doing is marvelous, but I could see such a tremendous benefit of being able to get a group of guys together online that could exchange pictures of their projects and ask questions. I'm building this, and I got this little problem. Does anybody know why this won't work? And
Ted, you just gave me another feature idea, so I've added that to the queue. I think that's fantastic. I've been watching like some of the new Maker magazines that's out, and they're having like Maker fairs where people, they have contests and people invent like these types of projects out of for $50 or so forth. And I think that the ham community, that's that's what we enjoy. I think a lot of us are just, you know, tinkerers at heart. That's why we've gotten into the hobby. And what a better way to share that project or lessons learned from a project or just your ideas with other people with a similar interest, but through the 73s.org community. You know what's cool? I've been watching the homepage of 73s.org, and we've had 3 new members join since we started talking, which is kind of interesting because it's at the point where we're seeing more and more people coming into the site and adding value to the community, and everyone's got these ideas and these projects or these problems that we really have an opportunity here to help each other and grow the ham radio hobby bigger than what it is today, and you know, can surely ensure that that we're not going to get those frequencies taken away from us.
Okay, Chris. We'll be right back with Chris Matthew, N7ICE, right after this. Have you been looking for a place to put a website? Have you thought about putting your own website up, or possibly you've got your own right now and you're not real happy? The name to think about and remember is Tux-Support.com. Tux like Tuxedo, the little penguin, the mascot for Linux, the Linux operating system. Tux-Support.com. Just remember that name. If you're looking for a website for your amateur radio club, your church, your organization, your business, or even a personal site, you need a place to put that site, and you want a simple way to put it together and maintain it. One word or one company to remember, that's tux-support.com. Tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. Tux-support.com. The only name you need to know when it comes to your website.
As a
website.
QSO listener, we really need to hear from you. We would like to know you're listening. We'd like to know how you feel about the radio show. We'd like to hear some suggestions. What would you like to hear more of? What would you like to hear less of? And you can do that by going to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. There's a place that says email Ted or some such nonsense as that's on the page. Click on that button and send me an email because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want to hear more of, less of, what you think about the program, where you're listening. How is it coming in on the shortwave? Is it coming in real good where you're at? And what about the time? Is this a good time? Would you prefer it on at a better time? And what would that better time be? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll even send you a QSL card if you'll send us an email. Once again, go to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. And where it says Contact Ted, just click on that little tab and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to QSO. And now back to Chris Matthew, N7ICE, on QSO. tell us a little bit. Tell us who the new 3 members that just logged in are. This is going to be cool. I want to hear some call signs and where they're at.
The 3 new ones that just came in. One's KC2BPP. And his profile's so new, he hasn't even posted where he lives yet. So he looks like he's still setting up his bio page and so forth. There's another gentleman, KA9FON, and his name is Milt, and he's from West Michigan. And I'm clicking on his profile page, and sure enough, he's got a whole paragraph there about... working on an antenna project. Ooh, and I forgot to mention this. He also checked the checkbox that says he's using APRS, the Automatic Position Reporting System. And when you do that, if you do have a radio that's like, you know, doing APRS beacons, you know, where you're located, 73s automatically pulls in a Google Map image of where Milt is currently located. So that is fantastic. I mean, I can see a map right here, pop into satellite mode, and check up on Milt what he's doing.
Boy, don't you wish we need some of this for some of our politicians in Washington.
And another gentleman is from Boston, Patrick, W1EHU. And I'm quick, and he's got a photo up there. He's sitting on a park bench with an HT. And he also put his Skype address in on his profile. So, and it tells me he's offline right now, but if he was logged into Skype, it would also allow me to establish a QSO with him over Skype by clicking on the Skype ID. So, you know, we're talking other mediums, you know, so it doesn't have to be amateur radio, but we're still connecting hams with other hams, and he has APRS too. Pretty wild.
Just for the heck of it, share us a little bit. Share a little bit of the bio with us if you can.
You know, he didn't put a bio. He put just his location is Boston, and he's also got call signs in Canada and France. So he might be working on a bio at the moment. These are all three are new call signs, but registrations. But his France call sign is F8DHX, and his Canadian call sign is VE2ZU, and it's really neat. When he's already following me, he's already identified me as someone he's interested in learning more about what I'm doing. So I've got a new friend.
Well, now did Milt put a bio up yet?
Yes, let me get to Milt.
As I share a little bit of the bio with us here, because we're getting close to the end of the show, and I want to cover some of this. This is what makes it cool, folks. I mean, this is why you got to get up here and get involved in this website.
Yeah, let's see. So Milt has just a paragraph here. He says, though I have a 9 call from Illinois, my QTH is in Eightland, West Virginia. I've been a ham since 1979, and since worked WAC, DXCC, and all using less than 70 watts of output using a simple wire antenna. Shortwave listening, SWL, is another favorite hobby. I have snagged some good DX over the years. Lately, I've gotten into APRS, PSK, and RTTY modes, and also operate on VHF packet.
Now, see, because Milt put a bio up there, you were able to read that, and now we have millions of listeners all over the world. And hopefully Milt will get some, you'll have some new logins, some new members that will join, and maybe they'll look Milt up and say hello. And
what's cool is when you're listening to this, if you've got a browser, web browser in front of you, if you just type 73s.org/ and Milt's call sign, KA9FON, 73s.org/KA9FON, you'll land right on his profile page. You'll be able to read the bio that I wrote, and you'll be able to see his exact location where his ham radio is beaconing his APRS signals.
That's really incredible. I want to applaud the effort and the work that you have put into this. And I hope you get lots of support. And I would ignore the negative comments. You know, you can ignore where the where there should be an apostrophe or there shouldn't be an S. And chalk that up to what it is. And really and truly, all of us here at the radio show, we really want to wish you well and encourage you to continue this. And we're going to try to bolster your support. What we'll probably do is we need to have you back on the air again and very soon and bring us up to date on the progress on the website. And maybe you might want to get a list of some of the new members, people that have logged in and who they are, and some of the interesting stories, and that will help, I think, get everyone acquainted and encourage folks to become a part of this, because this is where the strength is right now. It's the new technology. It's the marrying of the internet and its capabilities to amateur radio that's going to really build amateur radio. Now I'll share with you another little thing that's quite interesting. I have a number of young people that download the QSO programs and put them in their iPod or their Zune or whatever they're listening on. And, of course, they listen to and from work and wherever they happen to listen, if they're out jogging or whatever they're doing. And a number of them have discovered shortwave radio through the podcast, you see. So, yep. I know one shortwave operator says, I will not allow people to plug the internet on my station, and I'm not going to. And that is just so crazy because, you know, you could pick up, you know, shortwave. And it's interesting because shortwave to younger people today, this is a new media they don't know anything about. They've never heard of it before. And when you start.
And you don't need a ham license to listen to it.
No. And what's really interesting is this little Chinese company. Well, I shouldn't say little. They're a company over in Beijing. And for you folks that are listening, go to Google and type in Texun, T-E-C-S-U-N. And you'll have to hit, unless you know Chinese very well, you'll have to hit the translate button, which is cool about Google. Hit that translate button, and it'll take you to their site, translated in English. These people manufacture 30,000 shortwave radios every day. It's like, I read that, and I thought, oh, that's a misprint, that can't be. It is.
Of course, unbelievable.
They make all the Grundigs, and they make the Etons, and all these little radios. And, of course, you know, your Radio Shack, local Radio Shack's got about 6 or 7 really cool little shortwave receivers. And they're right at the $100 level or something like that. Some of them have sideband capability. And I know they're not the ideal sideband receiver. But, my goodness, you know, what a handful of entertainment and learning and international education that you can get from a portable shortwave radio. And this, of course, was impossible years ago. So the fact the internet really is feeding things back in the other direction, and it's doing so, I think, at a far greater rate. You know, shortwave radio, there's no way we could promote shortwave radio that would be equal to what the attention the internet is giving it. And, of course, some of the stations are streaming their audio online. And what I find amazing is even though the streams are up, people will seem to go back to the radio. They want to listen to it over the radio, but they'll turn on a stream if they can't get the station for propagation purposes or whatever happens to be going on. They'll actually listen to the stream. But I think this is really marvelous. And then to demonstrate, I want to ask you another question. Is the website friendly to these little pocket PCs?
Yes. Oh, I forgot to mention that. Yes, there's it automatically formats for mobile, like smartphones, Windows CE, and those types of things. But for the 45 million iPhone carriers, we have a brand new iPhone version of the application that's coming out in the next week or two. So you've got all the little touchscreen, all the information reorganized for smaller devices, and I think that's going to even help us bring us more closer together because you won't need to be at a desk or a laptop to share comments or feedback with other hams. With all these mobile devices worldwide. Yes, you've got access to call sign lookups, comments, everything you have on 73s.org in the palm of your hand.
Oh, it's interesting. I have a pocket PC, a little Verizon pocket PC. And, you know, to think about this, I mean, when I was a kid, if somebody showed me something like this, I would have totally freaked out. I would
like
not
Star
have been able,
Trek or something.
Yeah,
right?
I would have. That I had to change my britches after I saw something like that, you know. And, you know, I thought about it the other day. I'm driving down the road, and I'm looking at somebody's call sign. Of course, I'm not driving. Someone else is driving because I don't like text messaging while driving. I'm a total opponent to that. But nonetheless, I'm driving along, and I see a ham call plate. So I open up my pocket PC, and I punch in the call sign into Google, and up comes all this information. I can find out who the guy is, where he lives.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can go to a ham fest, for goodness sakes, and I can see a radio sitting on a table, and I can punch in the model number of that radio, and in Google I'm taken to eHam and a dozen other places, and I can find out about what it's worth and what it does and all that kind of stuff while standing there with this little device in my hand.
I did that with a DV dongle. There was a D-Star DV dongle I was interested in. The guy had it. They sell for new for $200. The guy had it for $150, which I thought was a great deal. I went to Google and I found one for $125, which included shipping. I showed it to him. I said, can you match this price? I'll buy it now. He said, absolutely. and I walked away with a $125 deal.
See, I just can't fight this technology. What would it be like? You know, I thought about this the other day. You know, it used to be there were door-to-door salesmen that went around and selling Encyclopedia Britannica. Mm-hmm. And those were really good tools when you were a kid, especially doing homework.
Oh, absolutely.
But where would we be today if there was no Google? I mean, I think I would become illiterate.
Google, and the interesting thing to me is that Google says that they've only actually organized something like 10% of the world's information today.
That's amazing.
So it's going to get even better. It's a great time to be alive.
You know, I was just amazed at that, thinking about the pocket PC and the power that this thing has, the portability, because on this little device I have email, I have internet access, I have a telephone, and the telephone is incidental. Most of the use that this thing gets is email,
yep.
And it allows me, I mean, I can even log into to my home PC and run the desktop from my pocket PC. It's really pathetic. It really is, you know. So I don't.
Wait, you're a techie.
You're officially
a geek. I call them my fellow ham geeks when I address the 73s.org people.
And, you know, and my two sons think I'm totally illiterate. I mean, compared to what they're doing. I mean, you know, my younger son, Matthew, has several racks located in what used to be his bedroom. And there's probably, I'm going to say, maybe 20 Linux boxes in there. And when you and there's a commercial internet access coming into this thing. And, of course, when you go to QSO, the website, which is either QSORadioShow.com or TedRandall.com, you're accessing, I don't know, one of those Linux boxes up there. And he speaks in languages I don't understand. And, you know, it's, but see, this is, I think it's cool. I just think it's absolutely marvelous. I watch him at work. I see his boss, Dave Ramsey, sitting in the studio, and by means of magical IT type connection devices, he goes live on television stations all over the country. And this technology has taken us to levels we just really haven't even imagined. And amateur radio, ham radio, has been one of the biggest key factors in getting us there. Most of the public does not know that.
Yep, and we can't stop now. You know, I was playing around with some of that live streaming stuff the other day. There's a bunch of services. There's like Ustream.tv and Stick'em and a whole bunch of new services. And I integrated one of them into 73s.org, and every now and then, I'll just get this wild idea that I feel like broadcasting live for anyone that happens to be watching. And I'll send a message out to through 73s.org, and I'll say, "Hey, ICOM sent me an ID1 radio to review. That was really cool." And I thought, "Wow, this is really neat. I'm kind of working for fun, like temporary use of equipment." And I let everyone know I was going to do an unboxing on 73s.org/live. And a little blip message out there brought in 15 ham radio operators that were watching my alerts through 73s.org, and we had a little party. It was just an impromptu, unplanned unboxing of the ICOM ID1. So everyone could see me taking the bubble wrap off and the shiny sticker off the display, and I think that this is, we're going to see more and more and more of these types of content or opportunities. I went to a ham fest a month ago here in town in Phoenix, and I did the same thing. I sent a little blip out. I said, "Hey, I'm live at a ham fest," and I shared that experience with 25 or 30 other hams that just happened to be online that wanted to watch live video and audio of me at a ham fest. And it's technology like that is giving the normal average person tools to become live, on the scene reporters or live video videographers. And it's truly amazing. Hams need to keep pushing this technology like we've done all these years.
The Huntsville Hamfest, there's a fellow that walks around with a helmet cam on.
Yeah, That's awesome.
He covers the whole Hamfest, and I know I went down several times, and then there was one year. Well, I came back on Saturday, and then I sat and watched the helmet cam that he had going, and he was using a broadband connection as he was walking through the flea market and all that sort of thing. And that was just phenomenal. But how did you do that? How did you do that? Were you set up, or what were you using to stream this thing?
Yeah, I like the Mac. I have a MacBook Pro, but this works on Linux and PCs as well, XP, Vista, whatever. It's a browser-based application. I use Ustream.tv. So what happens is you create an account on Ustream TV, and using any one of those operating systems, any operating system really, it's a browser, and a camera, you're able to broadcast your feed to Ustream, and then you can like send a message out, you know, by email or by Twitter or by 73s.org or any communication, you know, at your disposal. And then what happens is people watch your video on Ustream.tv, or like I did, I integrated Ustream TV into 73s.org, so they're actually using Ustream's bandwidth, not yours. So you're just having to low bandwidth, you know, just send out your video to Ustream, and then everyone who wants to watch you, and even if there's 1,000 people, they're all going to Ustream to get that video. So that really opens up a lot of doors for people, like with the camcorder on the helmet, walking around. You know, you just need a simple Wi-Fi connection, you know, not a whole lot of bandwidth, and thousands of people can watch you live.
That's really amazing. That's incredible. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. Go to 73s.org. Join up. Put your picture up there. Write a bio. Get involved in this thing. This is very, very cool. And we really want to thank you, Chris, for coming on board and sharing with us and spending time with us and explaining all these things. And also, we want to thank you for all your hard work and effort, because this is one of the high spots in ham radio that makes this hobby just so special. And unlike any other hobby out there.
Ted, I'm honored to be on the QSO radio show. I've really enjoyed this opportunity. I'd love to give an update later. I think you're doing some incredible things. My mother-in-law just bought a shortwave radio herself. So I think it's people like you, people like me, you know, the more we can encourage more hams to join the hobby or share, the better off we'll all be in the hobby. And, you know, thanks to Holly, too, for making all this possible and joining 73s and introducing us, because I really have enjoyed my time here with you, and you've got a new fan, and I'm going to send a bunch of 73s people over to your radio show as well, and that's another benefit of all of this community, is that helping each other get messages out and share, you know, all ads for the same, we all have the same goals.
And yeah, and Holly has done really well, KG4WXV. Boy, it's confusing in my world, because Matt is KG4WXX, David is KG4WXW, and she is KG4WXV. And when we check into Annette, it really gets confusing. But she works really hard at trying to interface and bring folks in and to find guests that are interesting. And she always does real well, and we really appreciate all her work that she puts into this. Thank you so much, and we are going to have you back very soon.
Awesome. Thank you. And 73s.
If you already own a TW2010 Adventurer or Backpacker antenna, and you want to use the antenna on 40 meters, you can get the Trans World Adventurer 4040 Array Box in center section only, right now only $139.95. That puts you on 40 meters, and you're dealing with the exact same antenna structure that has made the TW2010 Trans World Adventurer so famous. The black powder coating, the stealth, the way the antenna is able to hide. And in addition to that, it's portable if you want to take it with you. Of course, you can get it with a deluxe travel bag It's just fantastic. Go to the website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. If you can't remember Trans World Antennas, just remember to go to our website at QSO, tedrandall.com, TEDRANDALL.com, and click on the link for Trans World Antennas. Take a look at this brand new Adventurer 4040. As a QSO listener, we really need to hear from you. We would like to know you're listening. We'd like to know how you feel about the radio show. We'd like to hear some suggestions. What would you like to hear more of? What would you like to hear less of? And you can do that by going to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. There's a place that says email Ted or some such nonsense as that's on the page. Click on that button and send me an email because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want to hear more of, less of, what you think about the program, where you're listening. How is it coming in on the shortwave? Is it coming in real good where you're at? And what about the time? Is this a good time? Would you prefer it on at a better time? And what would that better time be? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll even send you a QSL card if you'll send us an email. Once again, go to tedrandall.com. That's TEDRANDALL.com. And where it says Contact Ted, just click on that little tab and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening
to QSL. And with us is Bob Cumming, W2BZY.
And Bob is the commercial chairman for Hamcation 2009 coming up. So how's it going, Bob?
So far it's going fantastic. We're ahead on our advanced ticket sales, and we're ahead on RVs and almost full in our commercial area. Coming down to the wire, we got about two booths left out of over 150 commercial vendors. So we're doing fine as far as that. And
well, tell folks what makes the Hamcation event different, and what sets it apart from all the rest of these ham fests.
Well, one of the things that makes it very amenable to hams coming to the Central Florida area is the proximity to the theme parks down here, which makes it very friendly to a family atmosphere. And hams can come down here and their families can go to the theme parks if they care to, or they can come before and afterwards. So it's an ideal vacation spot as well as a spot where ham radio has a great presence. Well, there's quite a few venues for people to find reasonable hotel accommodations down around the Disney area, down around the theme park area. And we do have, for people coming in with RVs, we have RV camping on premises, and we have a huge area that can provide them with just about all the comforts of home. We do have showers for those who are coming with small RVs and things like that. So it's a very friendly atmosphere to people coming in that are camping. It's friendly to families. Even for the women, we do have ladies programs for the wives coming in and looking around. They want to go shopping with their husband, and maybe the husband doesn't want the wives around when they go shopping so they can spend more money. I don't know. So we do offer a program for the wives, too. Okay, we open at noon on Friday until 7 p.m. All of our areas are open. And then Saturday morning, we open again from 9 a.m. until 6 o'clock in the evening. And then Sunday, we're open from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have a full three-day ham fest going on. All the areas are open all 3 days. In the inside swap table area, we've got, I don't know how many tailgaters coming in, but we've got a huge outdoor flea market area, tailgate area. There's plenty of free parking for anybody that wants to come in. There's no, we don't charge to park. There's plenty of parking on the premises. Okay, the website for Hamcation is www.hamcation.com, or you can call our reservation person at 407-814-0434, especially for RV reservations and that. And we do take RV check-ins from Wednesday afternoon on. I think they open up the RV camping at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, but we'll probably have a line of RVs waiting to get in before that.
Well, very, very good. I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us, and I hope everybody has a good time and really enjoys this event. Once again, it's Hamcation 2009. We're talking to Bob Cumming, W2BZY. And thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. And hopefully next year we'll get you to come down here and broadcast live from down here.
That's what we were planning on doing. So I thank you so much. Well, that's going to do it for this week's QSO. Thanks to Chris Matthew, N7ICE, for being a guest, along with Bob Cumming, W2BCY. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, for QSO.